Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us. I want to just let you know that we have a special guest with us right now, Dr. Jay Singleton. And let me introduce myself. I'm Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Pat Park.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
And Dr. Jay.
Yeah, Jay Singleton. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
This show is mostly going to be based around, I guess, a case right now before the state Supreme Court that involves you, and it's been there, and it was denied by the lower courts, and then the state Supreme Court vacated their ruling. Dr. Jay, I'm going to let you sort of quickly fill in what you can.
Well, you know, we've been talking a bit before we started, and we probably need some background information and bring it all the way up. But I'll start with this, and then we can backtrack, because that's what is in the news right now. It's the Institute for Justice called me a couple years ago to pick up the lawsuit that Dr. Singh had started. He'd gotten an MRI, and he was a surgeon. And because of financial constraints, he just couldn't keep it going, and he had to give it up. And when he gave it up, he had to give up the fight. So they called me because I guess I tend to fight with people. And so they called me up, and I said, sure. I've been trying to get through this forever, but it has turned into this. About a couple years ago, the appellate courts, I think there was a 3-judge. Member,
yeah, yeah, panel. Panel.
They listened to us, and I sat there the whole time. And as I sat there, I thought, well, this is in the bag, because all the hospital attorneys, when asked point blank, is this a monopoly? They all said yes. When asked, does this decrease patient access? Every one of them said yes. But then they said, you know, this is you can't hear this case because it's been argued before. And by the constitution of our state, that you can't hear another case that's already been argued.
Can I ask you to start back even further from the beginning? What is the aim of the lawsuit?
And what is CON?
Yeah. I keep forgetting. It's the third time we've been out on the great questions. Certificate of need is CON. It's aptly named. It's a con law.
And what is it that you need?
You need basically a certificate of need, and it's just basically you need to qualify for the ability to do surgery as your own entity in this state.
In your office.
I believe its original purpose in theory was to limit the number of specific equipment in an area so that you didn't have the area flooded with 10 MRI machines and all of them went broke. So they were going to create, as you
government
said,
government control, well, which always causes problems.
That's very paternal, though. I mean, it's like, you know, we don't limit the number of gas stations. You wait until if you can do it, you can do it. If you don't. Yeah, I don't own a gas station either.
So you need a certificate of need of an MRI machine?
Yeah. In this state, almost all services, even at least into psychological services and nursing home services, we're the third most restrictive in the continental U.S. And the DHHS at Raleigh, they have control over all this. It's a panel called the SCHIC. And last time I checked, about half to two-thirds of the members were hospital CEOs anyway. It is basically like a kangaroo court. It's just, you just go through there and they say no. The only thing that they ever let through are renal dialysis centers. And they count those as successes of the CON. And the reason they do that is because they make money for people. There are only two of them. And if you've ever seen, it's a $1 billion industry. And there are two main companies that do renal dialysis centers. I forget the names of them, but each time one asks, they give one to one. The next time they ask, they give one to the other. And then they go, look, see, we give CONs to people. It's like, well, you give them to renal dialysis centers because you have, you know, backdoor deals with them. But other than that, you haven't given one to physicians forever. The last was in Wilmington a couple of years ago because their population expanded to such a degree that even they couldn't hide it at the county level, and they needed more rooms for hospitals. Unfortunately, even those certificate of needs were given to an ophthalmology practice kind of behind the scenes, and it wasn't really well known to be competed over all the entities involved. And after it was done, they made all the other ophthalmologists go one county away and bring all their patients one county away just to have surgery. and this is, you can check on this in real time. It's happening. It happened. It's, you know, I'm not making things up.
Could you explain why you need an MRI machine to do eye surgery?
You don't, but you were asking me a lot of things about what CON covered, and that's one of the things it does. Now, the last surgeon was not an eye surgeon when he started with the MRI, but MRIs are something that we need around here, and they probably don't need to be regulated as high as they are. As a doctor, I try to get people to get MRIs all the time. It's hard to get one certified by the insurance. First of all, once you do, I have to actually call all the way to the top and try to get my patient squeezed in, even if their eyes kind of hanging out in a cup. I mean, you know, I had a fellow wait 3 weeks on that. That's hard to take care of your eye when it's that far out of your head. He couldn't get an MRI. And of course, it showed a mass back there when he did get it. But he waited 3 weeks, and then people act like we have enough MRIs. We don't. It's a big investment to get an MRI. If you're full-hearted enough to do that as a non-radiologist or don't have a group of people together to read these MRIs, you will go, you know, beat up. You're not gonna win. So competition in that field would be good too. You may find an entrepreneur that's really good at talking to people and brings physicians together and helps patients and lowers the cost. That person will win. That's the way it should go. Now for me, I'm a champion of ambulatory surgery centers. So if we want to, you know, focus this in specifically to things that I know about, that's what I know about. I don't know about the other stuff as well. But it is a huge chunk of CON. Ambulatory surgery centers are 80% of what we quarrel about, because I make the hospital here millions of dollars a year. If I was to move out and do my own surgery center, they could cry wolf and say, we're losing all this money. When in effect, I'm just bending over backward and saw all of my patients driving 1, 2, 3 hours just to get to this surgery center to have surgery done on them, just so they can leave their money at the counter. And that's not how we need to run medicine. You know, here's the other thing I want to tell you about insurance, is because the next thing people say is, well, so what? What if they go to the hospital or your ambulatory surgery center? You're just giving the money to you instead of them. It's not true. The facility fee, the fee that the entity gets for the surgery to pay for the supplies and all the people that do it, it's called a facility fee, and it's always 2 to 3 times more for hospitals. So, because they do lose some money through the ER. But if we're going to have this kind of a discussion, a nuanced discussion about this, everything needs to be taken into account. They also don't pay taxes. Their property, their sales, income tax, they pay nothing. They're like,
you pay all those.
But I pay all of those. So, and do you know why we let the hospitals not pay taxes? It's because we knew they would lose some money through their ERs and through indigent patients, because we have to take care of our communities from the lowest to the highest. But they wanted more facility fees to pad it even more, even though they're tax-free. You know, if you can't run a tax-free organization based on people being sick, which happens to everyone before they finally go, I don't know what business you can run. They have to come to you, and when they do, they have to give you whatever you want. So to me, the facility fee, 2 or 3 times what it is, for me, if I open a center, really does help patients, because I can do my cataract surgery for probably $700 to $900 facility fee. It's $7,000 at the hospital.
For the same, for the parts of it that you actually use.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's the facility fee. If you check on it, that's what it is.
Up front.
And, yeah.
And that's healthcare costs. That's medical insurance costs, or yeah, that's covering that.
That's what they said. You know, yeah. And medical insurance, you know, a large medical can say, well, nice try, we're paying you this, which is called the allowable fee. But they still get quite a bit of money. And they try to make that fee so high that if there was some kind of, you know, rogue insurance company had just mm-hmm. thought they didn't know any better, would pay them $7,000. But what it really does is it hammers on the uninsured, because the uninsured have, by law, have to pay whatever that fee is.
It also hammers us when we're paying our regular insurance
premiums.
Oh, and a lot of people around here who are trying to stay healthy. You know, they walk, they go to their local YMCA, whatever they're doing, and they try to stay in shape and hedge the bets and say, you know, I want to get a private insurance with a little higher deductible because I'm in good shape and I don't want to utilize the system as much. And it's a good way to save money if you're healthy. Well, if you go to the hospital and you don't have any insurance, and you say you're going to pay for the little stuff, well, that's $14,000 for a cataract surgery, you know, for bilateral cataracts. It's a lot of money when you aren't working anymore and you're just trying to make sure you're making everything count. And if you want to enjoy your life later too, because we all do, you know. But so people, just to summarize that, ambulatory surgery center is a big part of certificate of need. Yeah, the hospital association has clamored it will shut down small hospitals and that the money is just being given to the physicians, not the hospitals. They don't want to talk about the specifics that we get half of their fee to run our center and we have to pay taxes. And if it doesn't work, it gets closed down. You won't close down a local hospital without a fight. You will if there's a larger hospital beside of them that wants them. But that's life on the savannah that hopefully I don't have to deal with.
That's interesting with the costs and the ambulatory centers. If you would do a whole lot of surgery, your scheduling is also impacted. If you've got 20 people that need surgery, the space at the surgery center is limited, so your opportunities for spaces is also directed by their schedule at some
degree. That's actually an amazing comment, because most people don't think about that. Like, you have a certain amount of surgical space because there's a certain amount of doctors, and no surgeon should be left out and not being able to give surgical space. Well, I've got all these surgeries to do. Well, I've learned to do 20 of them between 12 and 3 because I have to, you know, and all it does is it just overwork the staff. But I think the bigger thing here, if you take that even further, is what hospitals are doing now is they've realized that if they get $20,000 to $30,000 for a knee scope and they get $2,000 for a cataract surgery,
Who are they scheduling?
They're scheduling the people that they get, and then they're
shutting, payback.
Shutting us out. You know,
haven't they assigned doctors certain days that they're allowed to do surgery?
They do, but for instance, I had a new associate come that it didn't work out. But part of the reason it didn't work out is he could never find surgical time.
Yeah, is it at the hospital's convenience or is that the patient's convenience?
Well, when Glenn had his knees done, we knew it was going to be a Wednesday because that was the only day that they had the surgical space.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's rough because it's a community hospital. It's kind of like China. You know, they're capitalists when they want to be and communists when they don't, you know.
Follow the money.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for staying with us.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper. Yeah!
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Thank you again for listening to our sponsors and supporters. We're going to come right back to Dr. J, if you don't mind filling more.
Well, we're talking during the break about, if you have insurance, you pay a certain fee. If you don't have insurance, you pay a certain higher fee that's set by the hospitals. These fees, despite everything we've tried, they're not listed on the hospital website. I mean, it'd be easy just to put how much do we charge for this. You won't find them. I mean, you can look all day if you want to.
Can I ask you, didn't Trump try that when he was in office the first time, that you were going to be allowed to go and ask, how much does this cost?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Dale Caldwell tried to do that here, too.
Yeah. I mean, it did get some traction for a while. It did with the insurance companies. Like Blue Cross Blue Shield would write down what they pay. It never got any traction with the hospital system, and they never kind of fell in line with it. I've never seen that they've done that. I remember that, and I remember a call to do that. And a lot of them said, we're in different cities, we're in different size hospitals. These things change all the time. But it's
one of those things that he wanted done that the bureaucracy just let slide.
Just let it slide, because, well, you got to remember, too, all of a sudden COVID came up. And nobody cared about anything anymore, that was a big issue.
But Dale Caldwell was trying to get some transparency in the hospital pricing, and it was with Blue Cross Blue Shield because they had the state employees contract, and he got COVID and was extremely ill, was in the hospital for a while, and that was really a wake up call for him on how the billing went. Mm-hmm. And he said that our medical care is the only thing that we face that we don't know what it's going to cost. You go to buy a car, you know what it's going to cost, and you can shop around and decide what you want. But you can't shop this hospital or this doctor or that doctor and say, okay, appendicitis is going to cost X. He just wanted, like a transparent cost system.
We have that in most things. We need it in our health insurance.
You do.
And the other thing that they talked about, and maybe will come up again, is unexpected costs. You went to see the doctor, 2 months later, you get a bill for something that they did that no one explained to you and no one told you it was going to cost money, and all of a sudden you owe somebody $500.
Yeah. And with my practice, I can say this, I'm kind of old school, so they can call, and then they can come talk to me and say, why do they charge us? I go, oh, I don't know. I didn't do that. Just tell them it's okay. But you can't do that in certain places. Then people don't know everybody's name. So it becomes, again, that's a bureaucracy, your number. But it is difficult to get to the core of this issue whenever there's no transparency.
Sounds like there's a lot of intersecting laws, jurisdictions, power centers.
With little oversight
and a lot of people with their hand in the till.
Yeah, and once you put your hand in there, you become part of it. It becomes your tar baby as well. And so it's hard to even, if you had a problem with the hospital, try to find a group of lawyers in the area that has not somehow been used by them or affiliated by them. There's conflict of interest every time you call anybody anywhere,
Right. So let me ask you this as a lawyer. The appeals court turned you down on what basis?
Two things. They said I had not exhausted my administrative efforts on the issue. In other words, I hadn't applied for a CON.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you why that is. I didn't do that because I couldn't. They made it such that the state has to all of a sudden say that there's a need in a certain county for one or two beds, and only then can you apply. So I actually did exhaust administrative because I tried to show them that our county was growing and that we needed more access to health care.
But until the hospital says it.
I was out. So they said I didn't apply, but they didn't let me apply. So there's applying, but there's letting you apply, letting you let apply, letting you let you let you apply. You know, what
point
are you stopped?
But you don't need a bed as a cataract, during cataract
surgery.
No,
but they call it that. They call it that. They call it like an OR bed. You know, it's just a token for a bed or two.
Yeah, in case something happens. Because then he'll need one.
Yeah.
Well, then they send you to the hospital.
You know, and at this point, I mean, I'm 53. I'm kind of fighting this also because I'll have to access this. I already am, you know. I have my colonoscopies. I get my prostate checked. You know, having to access this should light a fire under you, you know, at any age. Because it's not just that you're having to pay insurance. Young people are like, oh, I have to pay insurance. I'm going to go to the hospital. It's like, well, you something's going to happen to you. You're going to get sick. Something's going to happen to you. You need to understand when you access these systems, it's going to be a tussle unless you deal with it now.
It's going to be a bankruptcy case.
Yeah.
unless you deal with it now.
Right. Well, you said the second part. The second part was, okay, first part, I didn't exhaust my administrative efforts. I couldn't. The second part was basically that this case had been argued before and therefore should not be argued again. And, you know, for some reason, that took the wind out of a lot of the judges' sails over there. Even after hearing the lawyers admit everything that we were talking about today in open court, they said, you know, it's been done. He needs to go back and try to get a CON. You know, go through all the administrative stuff. This is over. But my lawyers, they didn't believe that. You know, they asked
so
the Supreme Court
today.
No.
Okay.
No.
So the appeals court, you gave us the two grounds that the appeals court used to shuffle you away.
Mm-hmm.
So on what grounds did you get cert from the Supreme Court?
I don't know. You know, my lawyers called me up and said, you know, Jay, we don't like that. We don't like the way that the appellate courts handled that. You know, we're going to ask the Supreme Court if they'll take this case. Now, on what grounds they did, I would love to have my lawyers here to talk with you about that. I am not a lawyer. I was glad they took it, and they held their results for probably almost a year, and they about 3 or 4 weeks ago they finally said that what you said, that we go back down to the trial courts, start again. I'm allowed to have my day in court,
and the trial court is not allowed to use certain background information.
Yeah, and they also have to. We'll have to finally.
Is this when you said they? Is this the Supreme Court?
Well,
they ruled?
They have ruled that I should have my day in court.
They've vacated the Superior Court decision, or the.
Oh, so you have to go all the way back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
But before they said I couldn't even go to court, so got to go back to the beginning, and the state can still try to block us and say it's unnecessary, but it's going to be very difficult for them to do it because the Supreme Court gave a lot of credence and weight to the Aston Parr case, which is this case in 1973 that our federal government decided through the Supreme Court that the CON law was unconstitutional. And they've been ignoring that. I mean, it's already been said that it's unconstitutional.
Oh.
But we're allowed to use that
like
now.
Like Biden with the student loan ruling.
Right. But I mean, but this was 73, and they're acting like, you know, it was in the Stone Ages. But it was rather recent, and it was pretty hot topic back then, too, since it had just come out. But we're allowed to use that and talk about that when we talk about this as well.
There are a number of states that have gotten rid of their con laws. Is that true?
That's right. And a number of large states, you know, Texas, one of the more recent ones, and their healthcare system is doing better than ever.
Is it true that the hospitals, when they are growing or expanding, that they could acquire a number of certificate of needs and just hold them in their pocket and not necessarily use them, but keep that access from somebody else?
Mm-hmm. It's true. And you know, there are these minor procedure rooms that you can get, and then over time you can make those into these rooms. The problem is it's much easier to get a certificate of need if you're a hospital. It's much, 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 much harder if you're a physician group or an ACO like we have here in town. It borderlines on impossible. Because first of all, the entrance is closed to even submit an application. You know, if you had applications at the DMV for something and you just lock the door, you'd find very few people filled them out. You know, you've got to have access to even apply. Well, I mean, I think Georgia does it right. You can at least, the application process is at least pretty easy and pretty quick. And you can be seen, and it's actually evaluated. You can get a one-room OR there. This is just a wastebasket situation where you're not allowed to apply, and what you do is thrown in the garbage.
So what will this next, your next step, what is it, and what will the result of it?
We don't know when the court's going to hear us, but the next step is to go to the trial court and do what they said, start over again, where we were 2 years ago in the springtime, and present our actual case as to why this is an unconstitutional law.
Well, will you be able to get your legal fees back? It sounds to me like this would be a horribly expensive endeavor.
It's not expensive for me, or I wouldn't be able to do it.
You don't have to pay your attorney?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Who pays the attorney?
I'm not sure. I think I... Yeah. Oh, sorry.
No. I was just going to add a couple of other things. As the Supreme Court threw this back down, there were two other cases that were thrown in. One is about a raceway that was told that they couldn't race during COVID, and that was a denial of ruled that it was a denial of somebody being able to earn a living. Okay, so that case has somehow come into here, and also the one about the Kinston properties. I guess condemning some property, I think it was in Kinston.
I read about that.
That the ruling on that has all of a sudden helped to open this case up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and it also helped that, you know, during COVID they dropped the CON for a while, and nothing bad happened. You know, and they put it back. Of course, it was just because we may have to build these hospitals, you know, really quickly for people. It never really came to fruition because it didn't hit us that hard. You know.
Well, Dr. J, you're fighting this, but there are people behind you who want this battle won because they want the monopoly to end. Am I correct?
Yeah, and there are plenty of people. I mean, we do it. Those of us who want this to end, I mean, we still do it with kind of heavy hearts because it's like, we still have to compete. You know, it's not a shoe-in. If this law falls, you still have to have the ability, both business acumen and the ability to do surgery, to keep your surgery center running, mm-hmm. and compete with the hospital, mm-hmm. which is a tax-free organization. So, I mean, I don't really understand what the big fear is, very honestly. I mean, there'll be times where we win and when we lose. And if we're better at helping patients and getting them through the surgery at a lower cost, we'll win.
Especially with the procedure that you do, it's not like you are doing heart or brain surgery. Mm-hmm. You're talking about doing cataract surgery. Yeah. So your risk to the hospital system is, even like you said, your cost could be about the $7,000-$8,000, it's substantially different than what the cost of the hospital would be. They could make more money doing knees.
They certainly could. I think they think losing knees is a slippery slope.
Okay. So it is follow the money.
Yeah.
It's follow the money, yes. And again, if you did it in your office, it would be one administrative fee, not two administrative fees, namely the hospital and your local fees.
Yeah, they're just, you don't need a person in the middle.
Okay. Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for staying with us. Stop in at East 70 Point for great deals. Drew and his knowledgeable staff have been serving the New Bern area since 1989. We always try to help our customers with friendly and honest service. Our crew is what sets us apart. Treating folks like how we want to be treated is our standard. People appreciate great service plus great prices, and that's what we're all about. Our shop is like no other. We specialize in guns, jewelry, and ammo, but we have so much more. We have the largest selection of new and used firearms, coins, collectibles, musical instruments, and tools. Our new jewelry selection is growing daily. Find us at 3317 Highway 70 East of New Bern. We're open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Also, check out our website for many, many collectibles, east70pawn.com. East 70 Pawn is your one-stop shop to buy, sell, trade, or cash loans quickly, conveniently, and confidentially.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in Newbern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in Newbern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, Newbern.
Thank you again for listening to our sponsors and supporters, the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Now, where are we going? We're going, Mary, first off, you're going to throw in a quick thing. Be quick.
My first cataract surgery was done at Boston Eye and Ear, and it was done by the eye doctor who does all the LASIK surgery for the New England Patriots, so he was rather good. And it was a pain in the neck to get into Boston to park, and it was a mess. It was just awful. And by the time I had the second one done, a group of ophthalmologists had opened a surgical center in Waltham. Easier to get to, parking, all kinds of good stuff. And because they had the most up-to-date equipment, they were able to do simple things, like cataracts, if that's simple.
Pretty simple.
And with me, they did a toric lens, which made it a little more complex, but not a whole lot. And what they did was they would schedule their basic stuff in the morning. They split their time between all the doctors. And the complicated stuff they could do during the day because they had the equipment and they had the space.
It seems to me that idea, that concept, would be better for the consumer because you could be so specialized in the facility.
Not only that, I think it was about a third of the cost.
Yeah, but the problem is you're in a big city.
That's true. You've got
a whole bunch of ophthalmologists. He just said three.
Yeah, but look at the aging population we have in Newbern.
Yeah, but he just said there's only three.
But if we had a surgery center, there'd be more.
What's the thing? Like you have to run like, I'm not normal. I mean, I do 3,000 of these a year, you know, where, you know, the average is about 350. So, yeah, I can support one. But you're right. I mean, that's the other thing. If you lived in a smaller area and you wanted to build a surgery center, watch out because you don't have 40 people beside of you giving you all those numbers and giving you all those. It just wouldn't work, you know. But the power grip is so tight by the hospitals. Just to let one little pebble fall out of their hands is too much.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way it would work.
I'm reading this article here about the lawsuit, about the various arguments that have been made and so forth. So it seems that the trial court dismissed your case, just said, no, no remedy for you.
Right.
And then it went to the appeals court, and they said...
They basically dismissed it, too. They said they wouldn't see it.
Okay. So it went to the state Supreme Court, and they said there were two questions that needed to be answered, and... This turns out to be a constitutional challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So you're allowed, according to the Supreme Court here, you're allowed to go back to the first court,
yes,
the trial court, and make your case whether or not making you apply for the certificate of need is the harm that you're trying to avoid, that making you go through that process is unconstitutional.
Well, What the Supreme Court actually said this past time was that because the lower court said I didn't even try to do all that stuff and therefore I couldn't sue. And they just said I can sue without trying to do all those things. So they just gave me the power to sue them. So now I got to go there. But there's still, the Supreme Court did go on, the entire ruling, to say that this will be kind of facial, which means affecting me and also affecting the wider future of the CON law in the state. And therefore, it's going to be come down to, is this constitutional or not? And that's what we're fighting.
Well, that's the most heavy stick,
yeah.
Whether it's constitutional.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's difficult to argue with that. If let's say you are part of the General Assembly and you say that you're a constitutionalist. Well, are you? I mean, it's right there in writing. I mean, read it and do what it says.
When you said that the, you mentioned a 1973 a Supreme Court decision. Were you talking about the state Supreme Court or the U.S. Supreme Court?
This, from what I read, it's the U.S. Supreme Court. It's a 1973 ruling. Yeah, I've got my stuff over here.
So when you're trying to go through your process, if you would win this, would it affect the con laws in the whole state or only you?
It wouldn't. It's not for me. It's for the whole state. Con laws of the whole state.
That's good then.
Yeah. In fact, for me, I mean, very honestly, I'm still trying to decide if I want to do something like that. Because I'm 53. Maybe I want to enjoy my life in another decade or so.
You don't want to spend the rest of your life talking to lawyers?
Talking to lawyers and working my butt off? No, not really. I mean,
lawyers are such delightful people. I can't understand.
I love the lawyers on my side.
That's good.
But it's good. It's interesting. This has come before the state legislature because up there for one of the committee meetings. I'm not accusing anyone of anything. But this might be an example of where lobbyists are working against the interests of the public.
They are. Absolutely.
And maybe the public needs to go up and make some more noise.
Well, the lobbyists said that I was a special interest. And it's made me laugh. I was just like, I guess because there's fewer of me than you. I mean, whatever I guess it depends. But, I was saying, I love our representatives, but I found out pretty quickly that it was, at the time, it was Burger, Dollar and Moore, the Speaker of the House, that were making all the decisions.
Right.
Absolutely.
So right.
You could send people up there all you wanted. They're in a bunker there, just kind of. And what they would do each year is they would threaten it to get things they wanted, that they would get rid of CON. And then at the very last minute, they would trade it in the state budget for something else, and it would be gone.
And it's hospital lobby money. We went up for different things through the years, from fishery things to fighting Common Core to the advanced placement U.S. history to Right for Life. And every time you were in there, you'd see the lobbyists going around. And if you go to the Open Secrets site mm-hmm. and look at your campaign finance reports, you can almost tell how someone's going to vote based on where campaign contributions go to.
Yes.
And I see huge conflicts of interest, like with Phil Berger. Yeah, his individual ability to earn an income and his son's ability to earn an income with gambling and zoning. But what I wanted to say about the facility thing is, if I look at the podiatrist or even the dentist that's doing oral surgery, you said that the pricing and the issue is you're dealing with a life, not a hotel room. But Glenn has to take an antibiotic every time he goes to the dentist because he has knee replacement surgery. So the dentist could kill him by giving him a blood infection. But they can do that in their office, but you can't do.
Right.
So it just doesn't seem like it's an equal application.
I've always wondered. I mean, some of my good friends are dentists. So I always congratulate them that they were able to take the escape ramp from socialism. But, like, you know, they do get paid cash on the barrel head, and they do get, you know, they don't have to deal with insurances. So they don't have to have two highly paid insurance people like I do. I even had to go with we have an EMR system, their computer systems. I had to have them take control of part of my finances because it was just getting out of hand. Insurance companies just weren't paying and waiting and waiting and waiting until you were administratively exhausted. And then just, it was beyond, you know, 2 or 3 months and you can't get it anyway. And that's how they're denying people now. So you have to have all these people, you know, to go out and find your money. Where people that you just get cash, like plastic surgeons, dentists, they don't have to worry about that. They don't even know what that means. And they don't need a CON because since they're not billing insurance, they just need a facility. And they usually have their facilities guaranteed by, Quad ASF, these places that rate them, but they don't need a CON because they're not dealing with Medicare. And that's where this discussion can go over people's heads that don't do it all the time. You're exactly right about that. Because CON only matters if you're billing Medicare. Well, we all bill Medicare.
Well, young people don't get the cataracts. It's, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you're usually 65 or over, and that's when you get Medicare. And even if you have Blue Cross, it gets the back seat, you know.
Not fair.
Yeah. It's not fair.
No, it's not. Now, like I said, I may not even benefit from it. I mean, we'll see. But I just got to see if the finances work, because it is a free market decision.
But what happens? You said there were three people that do what you do in New Bern, but one does corneas, one does glaucoma, and you do?
I do mostly cataracts, because they do that, basically, you know.
So what if you decide I'm done with this, then what happens to the population of New Bern? We have to drive to Greenville or Raleigh.
Yeah, you do, or Wilmington. You know, and Jacksonville has some good eye surgeons, too, but I mean, you know, I'll be very modest here. I mean, I'm probably a dime a dozen, but I mean, some of us do a little better than the other ones do. But we're all trained and we all do well in this community. But we're community doctors in a community hospital. But the community hospital left me. Yeah, I've been here 20 years, and you can sit in one spot and still move away from something. And that's where my office is. So I sat there in one spot, and the hospital just got further and further away from me, like it was a little dot, and then it disappeared because they started recruiting. They bought a lot of practices. When I got here, everybody had a private practice, and we would hang out or talk to each other. You know, you knew the ENT practice. You knew the general surgery practice. You knew every one of them. I don't know any doctors at all. I mean, some of the ones I met are wonderful, but they are employed by the hospital, and that's become a new trend. You know, you see fewer and fewer private practices. So maybe
that, you know, because of Obamacare?
I mean, I guess it could be. For me, I think to be honest, it's the way everything's going. Like, it's the reason there are 60 Chipotles and Starbucks instead of a diner that you used to like to go to.
I could tie it back to the hospital, though, because I remember talking to a doctor friend that had a practice that was told, if you don't join the firm, you don't have hospital privileges.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard similar things. I don't know that they could take the privileges away, but they could certainly, and some specialists that need the hospital and need the patient care, could certainly smother you.
And there's also the overabundance of government regulation that has come into medicine in the past, I would say, 15 years. Because I remember being able to take my kids to the doctor because one kid had a sore throat or an ear infection. You could drag them all in there, and he'd look at all of them, and it wasn't any big deal. Now there's so much paperwork, you can't do that.
No, and you know, bigger hospitals buy smaller hospitals. Mm-hmm. You know, UNC and Duke slap their name on the edge of them. And that's the world we live in now. You know, Vidant owns right above us. It's just, and they help a lot of people, but there are no small hospitals, or very few left anymore. There are very few private practices left anymore. It's just becoming less and less viable.
Your little country doctor doesn't exist anymore.
Mm-mm.
You can't trade an exam for a chicken anymore. No,
it just doesn't work.
that may actually be a nice thing.
Okay, folks, we're going to take a quick break again to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Thank you again for listening.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. and they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Thank you again for listening to Sponsors and Supporters. Dr. J, how would you like to wrap this up for us? And again, now, Kim, you just mentioned, how can we help you? How can we support you also?
Well, you know, you can always pressure the legislature. I mean, we've been doing that for years, but we do have some momentum right now. And we do have some sympathetic ears there. Falwell's very sympathetic. You know, he wants to kind of get the state budget in order. And he knows that's a low-hanging fruit. So he's definitely somebody who will be your advocate. And there are a lot of other people that will at least listen. And if the bell gets louder and louder when it rings, they'll do something about it. That's primarily all you can do. You know, it's in the court's hands pretty soon. You know, and to summarize, we didn't get the big win that we wanted as far as it just the Supreme Court saying it's unconstitutional. But they did allow us to have our case be kind of reheard or heard for the first time, really. And they're allowing some older rulings that actually show that this is an unconstitutional law. They're allowing those to be entered into the case as well. So we have a pretty good shot at it, but it's going to be a long battle over I think, years.
Hmm. And I know the Carolina Journal is on your side. Rich Kokai has written favorable articles and whatever else. And I know they try to present the case fairly. And I know there's other things being introduced here, to support your arguments. And
it's the sniff test. I mean, it just doesn't smell right, you know. And you want to be on the right side of history on this one.
Also, when the new legislative session convenes in January, maybe the CCTA ought to think about taking a trip and going up and talking to people. It won't hurt, and we've done it before. It's one of the useful things we do. We attended more of the Common Core sessions than some of the members of the committee.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I don't doubt it.
They knew us. They knew who we were. It's time to do that with con laws, and it's also time to do that, and I don't know exactly how to do it with this one, in education with House Bill 588 to get it enforced that our kids get civics, American history, the Constitution, their rights, and things like that. We can make a difference there, and we need to.
Well, if the CCTA were to go up there, who would you like us to talk to?
Well, I mean, I think Paul will be a good person to start right off with. He's a very powerful man, and to push you in the right direction. I would tell you to go to Berger and those guys, but I've never met the man. I've sat outside of his office a lot. I think I was out there longer than one of the paintings at one point. So he would even come out of the room. You know, his assistant came out and talked to me a couple times. So never talked to the man. I've never talked to Dollar, never talked to Moore. I don't think Moore's there anymore, is he? That's
yeah. Not for long if he is. I don't know.
But I mean, yeah, so it. There are just a few people that are making decisions, and if you can get to them, you know, I could talk to my former lobbyist, Rob LeMay, who's always sympathetic to me and tries to help me and always has the temperature up there and can tell us who to talk to more.
Well, if you talk to him and ask him and then let Mary or Bob know so we can get, because the CCTA, we just had a meeting last night where we're trying to decide what our future direction is.
Yeah.
And this sounds like a good project.
I do know that when we would go up there and, let's say, enforce, you know, bring a dozen or 15 people, if you go up as a single person, and just as you said, Dr. Jake, you'll get to sit there and not really get to see anybody. If you bring 12 or 15 people, guess what? They're going to find you a room, and they're going to find you the representative or the senator that wants
to. At least not. I was on a fold-out chair. At least you get a chair.
That's good.
Okay, can we just spend a little bit of time talking about the events this week since the election, the cabinet that's being formed, and the vote that was taken in the Senate today that I will be very honest, I am very disappointed with.
Me too.
With, you mean John Thune?
Yes. Maybe he will cooperate with Trump's agenda. There was a meeting between him and Trump about a week or so ago.
Where he basically told Trump to stay in his own lane.
He did, but I'm willing to wait a week or two or see what happens. The meeting between Trump and Biden today was very cordial. That was nice. Melania Trump has refused to go to meet with Jill Biden based on the fact that she feels that Joe Biden caused the raid on Mar-a-Lago and she feels violated by that, and I don't blame her. So let's have some comments on the cabinet. We have Matt Gaetz as Attorney General.
I'm questioning Matt Gaetz, and I'm questioning Pete Hegseth.
I'm questioning Kristi Noem.
Okay. Tulsi Gabbard has been named the Director of National Intelligence.
So Pete Hegseth, I like him. For the biggest reason is because he has the experience as the soldier, but he's also extremely intelligent. I believe his college was
Princeton,
and Yale.
His master's was Harvard.
He has a master's from Harvard.
And in the John Kennedy School of Government in Public Policy.
And he's also right, man. He's been deployed several times.
Yeah, and he's
Bronze Star. I mean, yeah. I think he's got the credentials. I think he would have the respect. And he would definitely take that woke out.
And he's also been an advocate for the veterans all the way along.
Yeah.
The big thing is, of course, you have staff to help with this, but that's the biggest budget in our government.
We know he supports the veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And the veterans have not been treated well. The Veterans Administration has been used to coordinate medical care for the illegal aliens. The administrative aspect of that has been misused.
So what was your concern, Pat?
My concern is that the deep state just sees him as an easy target to get around because he has not spent any career time in the bureaucracy. He doesn't know how it works. He doesn't know where the bodies are buried. He's been mainly a celebrity. And I don't think they're going to take him seriously at all.
And we wouldn't have taken Kamala seriously at all either.
Well, she didn't get elected either, did she?
Well, we'll see. That's going to be interesting to watch because, again, his staff is going to be, for a while at least, the career bureaucrats.
Where's Pete? Yeah, where's Pete going to get his staff?
Yeah.
He doesn't have any ties to the bureaucracy or to the political people, which was problems that several of that Trump himself suffered from on his first.
Yes.
But that's a double-edged sword. I don't want them to be connected. I mean, I'd rather him fumble around a little bit and run into some walls before he hooks his wagon to the folks up there.
We know President-elect Trump's first major decision was not to accept the federal transition team.
Did you see the letter that Jamie Raskin sent him about that?
Yes.
Woo!
And
so
it was
nasty.
And it was, you know, oh, you're defying tradition. That team has not been used, has only been used since Obama. And does anybody remember the office of the president-elect?
No.
Do we get that again? I mean, remember that with Obama? That was so ridiculous.
Well, Raskin's an idiot, so we can start
but
there.
But he's a vicious idiot.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he's the one that's been talking about not certifying the vote.
Yeah. But we did get rid of Sherrod Brown.
Yeah, that was Ohio.
Yeah, that's a good thing. But, okay, who else have we got in the cabinet?
I wonder about Matt Gaetz as the attorney general, because the attorney general needs to go into the DOJ and clean house.
Well, they also have to take him off of the no-fly list.
Well, it's the same with Tulsi.
Tulsi.
Well, she was on a terrorist watch list.
Yeah, so.
I mean, hey, the Biden administration so misused the Department of Justice against people who did not toe the line.
I think an intelligent appointment is Mike Huckabee as the ambassador to Israel.
Yes. Yes.
He has spent more than 100 trips over there relatively recently. And it's a very intelligent.
That is a good fit.
Choice.
Yes.
And important.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I love Tom Homan.
Yes. Yeah.
He is the man for that job, in my belief. I don't know where Pat's at on that.
No, I think he knows where the bodies are buried.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
I'm liking that.
Yeah, he's directed the thing before, so he's just going to go back to work.
Well, was this the one that when interviewed, well, what's going to happen when you separate families?
Yes.
No, we're going to deport the whole family.
How can you not separate the family? Deport the whole thing.
You know, on Veterans Day, on the Lars Larson radio show, that was talking about the deporting that they're going to do, and AOC was having a fit with
as expected
with Mr. Homan and saying you were going to separate Grandma. And first of all, we didn't create that immigration problem. Grandma did. Mm-hmm. Grandma came here illegally. So she had children who would have been anchor babies who would have been then citizens. We are not killing Grandma by sending her home. And her American citizen children can go visit her in Mexico. They make it sound like they're going to be gone forever and never be able to see them again. And what Bob said earlier about how we treat our veterans, we separate a family every time we deploy a soldier.
Yes.
And sometimes permanently.
Well,
for the freedoms.
Homan used to be a cop, and he said, if I arrest somebody for DWI and they've got a kid in the car, separate that family.
Well, right, but why are we giving these illegals more consideration than we give our own American soldier who fights for the freedom for AOC to say that kind of?
There's also the matter of
There's nothing to do about that. Of
missing children.
Right.
Because of that open border.
350,000, right?
That may be trafficked in slave labor. We don't know.
But they said they were renting them out and taking them back and forth multiple times, the same child.
And this needs to be dealt with. We need somebody in charge of the border who will protect the children. Don't cry tears and say it's all about the children when you're not protecting the children and you have given the control of our border to the cartels.
And they're also going to send the military to the border and get rid of the cartels.
But they're also the people that are going to be mass deported. It's not the rank and file grandma either. They have said that they're going to go after the criminal.
The gangs.
First.
The gangs.
To set a priority.
What about the families who have lost their children to fentanyl overdoses?
Yeah.
What about them?
I'm just saying that they've been separated from their families.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's no fixing that.
There is if you close the border. There is
no,
if you
there's
deport
no way
the drug
to make
trafficker.
That part. No, there's no,
no
way
no,
to make that person
make
whole.
That whole.
But just like
oh,
just
right.
like
if you can right. prevent it in the future by right. shutting down the border.
Just like any medical triage or whatever else, you take care of certain incidents first. You've got to prioritize.
And I just got to interject something as we close here or get close to closing is, as you talk about triage, FEMA and choosing to step over Trump sign people with Trump signs in their yard and not give them service, that's an interesting approach on triage.
And there's also, there are stories now that goes higher than that one lady.
Yes, of course.
Okay, folks, we're going to wrap the show up. Again, thank you, Dr. J, for being with us and also hearing us rant for the last few minutes. Again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you, folks.
Thank you.